from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban 3 fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobovka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hook him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Excellent song choice from Jimmy. Here comes the rain again. Nasty out there in South Florida. Drive with caution. There's a puddling situation going on in many areas.
Got your shoes wet?
No. And there is a puddling situation in our parking lot. But if you remember when we did the show during the Stanley Cup playoff run, and I had to walk through a puddle in their parking lot, I learned my lesson. So I parked way to the edge of the parking lot. I actually, whilst in my car, mapped out the best route through the parking lot to avoid wet shoes. So I'm feeling really good. I'm guessing you have wet shoes and socks.
You're showing your age. No, I just waited for the rain to slow down.
Well, it didn't slow down. So
it did slow down. No, it's not even raining outside right now.
Well, it was still puddling all over the parking lot.
Yeah,
I'm sure if I checked your feet right now, I bet there's a lot of moisture.
Touch that diabetes toe.
But I must move on. Dolphins had joint practice with the Buccaneers in Tampa today. Here's a couple notes. David Fiorones tweeted out, Mike McDaniel said some starters will play in the final preseason game, but many won't. For the majority of the starters, today's a very big practice, McDaniel said, because they won't play in the preseason finale. Mike Cuno, CBS4, tweets out, Mike McDaniel says Tyreek could practice today, but from a medical standpoint, they're going to let him cool down. So he didn't participate in practice. That training camp report sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. Are you ready to level up your career game? MDCPS Technical Colleges have got you covered. Choose from tons of programs, learn from top-notch certified instructors, and get real-world experience. And the best part, you can graduate debt-free in just 1 to 2 years. If you're ready to make the move, log on to careerinayear.com or call 305-558-8000. MDCPS Technical Colleges, your best choice for a brighter future. So, we'll talk some Dolphins today. Clay Ferraro is going to be in studio with us today. Clay Ferraro is doing a story. He's getting ready to do a story. I'm guessing it's going to air next week. Next week, Clay, yeah. He's going to do a story on UF football. House is divided. And you and I, we're a divided
very
house because I am a proud UM graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I stress graduate. 87-91.
Want me to stomp your toe?
Went to all my classes. I passed. I walked with all the graduates across the stage.
You had a 1.8.
Move for the tassel from one side to the next. Now, while you may have had a more memorable career at your college, yeah. I am a graduate. But, yeah, they're doing a story on Local 10. On House Divided, you know, Canes and Gators, and this will ramp up next week to a fever pitch, if you will.
And it should, and we're both in turmoil.
Yes.
And that's what the thing is. Who has figured it out faster?
Because
is it Cristobal? Is it Napier? That's the fun part.
Here's what I say. As a Hurricane fan, the expectations are high this year because Cam Ward mostly,
yes.
But also because it's year three of Mario Cristobal. But here's the thing that I dread, and I'm looking forward to the game. Don't get me wrong. Here's the thing that I dread. After the game, having to go, well, it's always tough to play in the swamp. Oh, any rivalry game is really hard.
Sounds so good.
Hey, Cam Ward needs a few games under his belt to really, you know, learn the system with his teammates and game action. There's no time for that with the Hurricanes. There's no time for that with the Hurricanes and Mario Cristobal. And so I go into I was talking to someone on the phone driving to the station today, and he said, what do you think? Because he originally, my friend Justin, you've met him, an electrician, he was going to go to the game. And then he decided, I don't want to sit out in Gainesville in the middle of the afternoon. He's like, I'm going to Biloxi, and I'm going to sit in a sports book there. I'm going to bet on the game. He's a diehard Canes fan. And he's like, so he called me. He's like, but what do you think for real? And you and I were talking about it. I think for real, Canes would be a touchdown favorite in Miami.
Yes.
But they're on the road. It's opening game. It is a rivalry game. And it's in Gainesville. And there's going to be 100,000 screaming Gators fans. And so the line's 2.5. Maybe it'll be 3 by the opening. But on paper, this Canes team is 1,000 times better than the Florida team.
Yeah.
And as important as the game is for your team, I think it's just as important, if not more important, for Mario Cristobal.
And, oh, wait, my mortgage looked great on paper. You see what I'm saying? It's way more pressure on the Canes, even being in Gainesville, even having the home field advantage and all that, where it's y'all brought in this great quarterback, and we have to see what happens. That everything we talked to Gino Toretta yesterday. Everything's around Cam Ward, this team, Mario Cristobal getting this team going back to that old Canes thing. Well, we've heard that too many times. Y'all are favored in games, but I understand that. But I told you I'm not betting either way because of the fact that these are two teams that have a bunch of new players trying to figure out what's going on and see who's going to win. There is an advantage for me and the Gators playing in Gainesville.
No doubt.
96,000 plus screaming and yelling. Has Cam Ward seen that at Washington State, whatever the hell he was? I know where he was. He was at Washington State. But that's the thing that we have to see now. Week zero of the NCAA season, I said it with, Notre Dame and Georgia Tech. These are children. Who is going to walk out there and see this crowd in Gainesville and not be as excited to play in front of people that are booing them every single play? I'm telling you, Hawk, it's not going to be as easy as you think. This ain't no cakewalk. And I'm not a Billy Napier. Look at you making your little
Well,
face.
Because Cam Ward Billy is not Napier. A child. He's your daddy. And you're going to find
He's
out
not
on August
my
31st.
Daddy. He's not my daddy. He's taller than me. I wish my dad was his height. But I'm saying it's not going to be as easy as y'all think it is. These are two teams that they don't know who they are, and we're going to figure it out next Saturday.
Well, this is going to amp up next week for sure because I'm feeling it. I'm excited for FSU. It'll be fun to get the season underway on Saturday. But I am ready to get to next week because there's no NFL, too. So we can focus next week on UMUF, and it'll be fun. Alejandro Solana had a tough time navigating the weather to the radio station today, but he made it on time, even though giving us a couple of warnings that he might be late, even though last week told me he'd never been late for a show before. And I pointed out several times that he had.
Always been late.
And maybe you leave a little bit earlier, Solana, so you get here on time.
Nah, I was on time today. I think I'm good.
I mean, you were here at like 2:01.
No, I was here at 1:59:44. Actually.
You walked in the building or you walked in our studio?
Walked in the studio, 1:59:44.
What does Tom Coughlin say? If you're not 5 minutes early,
you're late.
You're late. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's get headlines here for the 2 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana. Do you have wet feet?
I don't, actually. It eased up a bit as I pulled into the parking lot.
All right. But the parking lot is puddling.
Just a couple puddles.
No, there's some significant
puddles. Walk around them, Hawk.
I did. I mapped it out.
These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Hawk, I know you just mentioned a couple notes from Dolphins practice, but basically, not many guys practiced today in terms of starters. I know Jalen Waddle's back on the field. And participated a bit. Tyreek Hill did a little bit as well, but most of the Dolphins starters were out today. Jalen Ramsey, Javon Holland, no Cam Smith. Chris Brooks was out. Aaron Brewer, Tron Armstead, they continue to be out.
I thought I saw Aaron Brewer was practicing again, or was he just there on the sidelines?
I believe
something?
He was just on the sidelines. He didn't. None of these guys participated in 11-on-11s against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I saw EZE, Eric Ezukama, who I was kind of hoping
that's your guy
on Friday would have another showcase performance because it's preseason. This dude balls in preseason. He limped off the field late in practice. I don't think it's serious, but he did limp off the field.
Solana doesn't think it's serious.
based on his reading of David Fioronis' tweet.
Solana doesn't think it's serious.
I don't think it's serious because he tweeted 1 hour ago, blessed and highly favored, let's keep stacking days.
All right.
That's why I don't think it's serious.
Okay.
For your information, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
But also, David Fioronis, thank you very much for your tweet because I appreciate it. Los Modelines did lose yesterday to the Diamondbacks. They'll play game 3 of that series tonight. 6:40 series finale. You guys want some updated AFC East odds? This is via ESPN Bet.
Yes. Can I guess?
Yes.
Via ESPN Bet, I'm going to go, obviously the favorite to win the AFC East is Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's the question. Is there like this bubbling anticipation of the Jets right now?
Rodgers, I'm with you.
As the season gets closer, do people start going, oh, you know what? Jets might be a sleeper team. Aaron Rodgers is ready. Let me think about this. So Bills are the favorite to win the AFC East. Man, it better be the Dolphins number 2.
I don't think so.
It should be. Because there's got to be a bubbling anticipation with Tua as well, and Tyreek.
But
and
bubbling for Tua? Tua's never bubbled.
I know, but did you see? I mean, he was 5 for 5 on Saturday night. Like, what more do you need to see?
Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Patriots.
I say Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots.
Bills, plus 175 to win the division. Jets, plus 185.
Wow.
Told you.
The Miami Dolphins are plus 200.
That's such BS. I mean, it's good. Like, I don't care because it's better odds. I would love to bet right now the Bills don't win the division. Like, if that was a bet. Because I don't think, like, I'll give you the possibility that the Jets do something. I'll give you the possibility the Dolphins do something. Patriots aren't winning the division. I don't think the Bills are either.
Patriots aren't playing football.
The Patriots. Yeah, you got it. The Patriots.
Yeah, I saw some downstairs walking
over. What are their odds?
Not the ones I saw.
So there's a ton.
What are their odds?
I don't know. I didn't write them down.
There was only four. You stopped at three?
I'll look it up right now.
Who's the best quarterback in the AFC East?
Historically?
No, right, right now. No. It's easy. How you want to put it? Just right now as we sit here. That's why I put the Jets first. Aaron Rodgers is better than Josh Allen.
He's the best quarterback still in the AFC East.
Yes. If he's healthy, and we've never seen anything other than that.
Well, but that's a big if.
We've never seen anything other than
that. But we've never seen him with the Jets.
We've never seen – well, we saw four games.
No, four plays.
Sorry.
If we're judging him based off running out on the field with an American flag.
That was a moment.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
I don't know. He was limping a little bit.
That was a moment.
I thought he was limping a little
bit. That was a great moment. I'm guessing he's not going to do that again. He's just going to casually walk out there.
They should carry him out there. The Jets should carry him.
Yeah, like no big deal. Here I am. They should carry him out to the huddle. And then back to the sideline. He should never touch the grass except when he's taking a snap.
He's going to walk around protecting his Achilles.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on now.
He should. He should come out there with bubble wrap on his legs. Actual bubble wrap.
Leave me alone. No.
So you're asking who's the best quarterback in the AFC. I don't know if you guys saw this.
AFC East.
Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, they both ranked their top five quarterbacks in the NFL. This was at Fanatics Fest over the weekend. Crowder, I'm not sure if you were able to catch this while you were getting toasted doing the 40-yard dash.
I didn't have a ticket to this event. Mm-hmm.
Were your feet wet during that 40?
His underwear was after. I promise you that.
I'm eating these damn dirty water glizzies. I can't run with that on my stomach.
Hey, you know what? Maybe lay off the fried food for a little bit, okay, CeCe?
Go 2-5. Everybody knows who number one is. If it's not, I'm going to punch everybody in the face.
Yeah, so they didn't necessarily rank these in order, but just their five. I'll give you Tom Brady. We know Mahomes. He has Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He does put him up there. And then Peyton Manning had obviously Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Justin Herbert.
I think people.
I mean,
are
why Herbert over Tua? I get that season one. I'm not on board with that anymore.
Physically bigger, more athletic, stronger arm, and I think if you put Herbert on any list, you think that Harbaugh is going to put him to a next level.
Okay.
He's a Super Bowl coach in the NFL. He goes to Michigan, wins a championship. He's going to take a team.
He's
and
not.
A quarterback
I'm
to
sorry,
the next
but
level.
He's not the best, fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
I can argue 10 more than him.
Yeah. So they also, you know, they kind of like floated names around while doing this list. None of them had Tua Tagovailoa. I only brought this up to kind of go back to the point when you question who's the best quarterback in the AFC East. While we all believe Tua at least deserves to be in the conversation, I feel like outside of Miami, it's not exactly the same sentiment.
No, no one thinks he's as good as we think he is. No. I don't believe, except maybe fans in Alabama. But no one thinks that.
And
but that
why?
Goes back to the Brian Flores thing. He created this narrative, and now that bubbled up again. But he created this narrative that, you know, and it was pounded into everyone's head the first couple of seasons with Justin Herbert, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the first couple of seasons, we said, you will never be able to mention Justin Herbert without talking about Tua. You'll never be able to mention Tua without talking about Justin Herbert. But I don't feel like I'm there anymore. Like, I don't feel like they're joined at the hip anymore.
They are.
No.
Why? Because?
Because Tua got his second contract. He's proven to you that he was worthy of a number five pick. Like, whether Justin Herbert ends up being a better quarterback or wins a Super Bowl before Tua, Tua's shown you he was worth a number five overall pick. That's all. And that's all you.
Oh, no,
you,
no, no. Tua's worth the pick, Hawk.
Right. But I'm saying you literally thought the first couple seasons that maybe Tua wasn't even worth that pick, and of course you should have taken Herbert. Now you can look at them both and say, yeah, either one.
I'm with you. I understand what you're saying, but I was going to say, as this Flores thing bubbled back up, where Flores handicapped Tua, which he did, and Flores, I was wrong. I thought Flores was going to say.
How about that?
Yeah, you're a grown-ass man.
Did I nail that?
I nailed that. That's like the third time in 10 years I told you you were right.
Now listen, allow me to celebrate, will you?
But no. I'm
right about your shoes and socks today. I know they're wet.
With what Flores, I got on Crocs.
You walked through that parking lot with Crocs?
And it's still dry, and I got my diabetes ringtone.
Holy mackerel, look at these socks. What are those called? Dew dry? What, bug dry? What does that say? What kind of socks are you buying?
I don't know.
Which flea market stall did you get those at?
It's called Ross.
Holy
Have you ever been to Ross?
Mackerel.
You been to Ross?
Yeah, I mean, if I got to get something, if I'm going to Melting Pot, and I know I'm never going to be able to wear those clothes again, I'll stop at Ross and get something.
These Ross socks are...
Holy mackerel.
They fit for a week and
those
a half.
Those are disposable socks. Big baller.
They're made out of nothing. What? I want to see what Herbert is with John Harbaugh.
Right.
That's what I want to see, and I think that's what's going to dictate this Tua Herbert situation is what happens when Harbaugh gets there.
See, I just don't think it's a situation.
Brandon
anymore.
Staley was terrible.
I just don't think it's a situation.
It is a situation. If Herbert goes out and goes to the AFC Championship this year or wins a playoff game before Tua does, the conversation is right back there, Hawk.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
It is.
Well, why didn't the conversation end last season when Tua had a statistically much better season than Herbert?
The coach was terrible. The roster was terrible. There was a bunch of injuries.
Oh, how come he gets all that leeway and Tua doesn't get any of that?
Tua wasn't on the field when Herbert was.
Tua's head coach hated him for the first two seasons. Tua's head coach hated him the first two seasons. Where's that context?
You do give it all the time. We literally talk about Tua's career officially beginning with the Mike McDaniel era.
I give it. Yeah.
And
I think in South Florida. No, I'm going back to what Solana's saying, where I don't think across the nation Tua gets any of that kind of excitement that we have. I'm just talking about the national narrative.
And so now you have a real coach helping Justin Herbert out in Harbaugh, who's known he's a Super Bowl coach. What happens this year? This year has a lot to do with it. He's not going back to college, so it's some more years because
I'm over Justin money. Herbert. I'm over him.
You're just done with him.
Guy's injury prone.
Is he?
See what I did there? Because they say that about Tua all the time, but I think Justin Herbert's been injured just as much as he has, if not more.
No. He hasn't been productive, but he wasn't injured.
He has been. He's had like minor injuries.
In the first season, didn't he end up missing a ton of games?
He hasn't had major injuries like to a ton of
games. They're just not telling you. Read between the lines, Solana.
So he's playing injured, but nobody knows?
It's pretty obvious.
Finally. I brought everybody a treat. I knew Clay Ferreira was coming in today. Oreo Thins Tiramisu Edition.
Nah, I don't eat Oreo Thins as it is because that's a waste. Because that's mostly black wafer.
Correct.
And nobody enjoys the black wafer.
Best part of an Oreo.
On an Oreo. The best part of the Oreo is the white cream.
Black wafer.
And really, the only good Oreos are the golden Oreos, which is the
look at yourself.
Light on light. But nobody wants tiramisu Oreos. That's ridiculous.
Tiramisu Oreo Thins, Crowder. You got the black cookie.
I love the Thins, but yeah. And
so
black
is that why you
overtake it?
Is that why you were? Yeah, always.
I know this is an athletic cookie.
Yeah. Is that why you were late today? Because you stopped and got Oreo Thins, or did those come out of your pantry?
I may or may not have stopped at Publix on the way over.
Well, that I appreciate. Like if it was for a show bit, I'm all about it. But I want to open those and see if they're half gone.
Right.
And if these came out of Eduardo's pantry, then I'm angry at you for being late today. All right, he's coming in.
Why
here
is his shirt so tight?
Let's see. Yeah, these kids, they love the tight shirts.
Yeah, you
call them a kit. Let's see here.
Fresh box,
brand new.
Let me see. That's a tiramisu.
Tiramisu.
What flavor is tiramisu?
Why do you keep calling it tiramisu?
Like you got your crown on for prom.
Yeah,
tiramisu.
Yeah, you have your tiara on for prom. This is tiramisu.
What is that flavor?
You've never had tiramisu at an Italian restaurant? I think it's got like a coffee thing going on there, right? Like a espresso or something.
I don't do caffeine. Coffee.
Stop it. You've never had tiramisu?
I like a creme brulee.
So I'm going to tell you something. I know this is going to annoy people. Tiramisu is so overrated.
I think it is such a terrible dessert. Stop it.
Such a terrible dessert. I don't even love creme brulee that much. But,
what?
Like, I don't love creme brulee that much.
Creme brulee with the little crusties?
Because it's cute. It's delicious. Look what we did with the sugar. We put a blowtorch on it. Hey! Like, if they served you that crappy, thin little dish of custard, like, think about it. It's the
just
thinnest.
The mushy.
It's the thinnest dish of custard that they could. Like, they charge you $12 for it. They literally had to invent the thinnest dish possible.
The mushy.
And the only, they go, we can't just serve this tiny little thin dish of custard. What are we going to do? Oh, you know what?
Caramelized
sugar. What these dolts who are paying for the dinner will love? We'll blow a little flame on it and they'll go, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten. It's such an overrated dessert.
The texture.
Man. Yeah, no, I know what it is. I'm very familiar.
You don't understand.
I know what it is. Tiramisu is not my favorite, and creme brulee is not my favorite either.
You guys don't have advanced palates. I think that's what we're getting at.
No,
here.
I call out palates. Truths. You can't argue with anything that I just said. It's a tiny dish of custard that happens to have a blow dryer taken to it. Like, what's the excitement there?
Anything flambéed is just delicious. But by the way, I'm more outraged at you calling tiramisu overrated. It's on the Mount Rushmore of dessert.
Oh, such a bad dessert. I hate when someone at the table goes, oh, you know what we'll get? We'll get tiramisu for the table. I go, how about you get it for yourself? Because I'm getting a cookie brownie thing with ice cream.
What country is this from?
Italy. Clay's home nation.
Ferrero.
Clay Ferrero.
You like this, Clay?
No.
Good for him.
This isn't very good.
I've been saying this for years. Hey, listen, yeah, like, can I tell you the profile of a person who's buying Oreo Thins tiramisu? It's somebody who thinks they're a lot more important than they are.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, Oreo Thins, it's a classier version of Oreos. No, it's not. It's a crappy version of Oreos. And now I'm going to get the tiramisu flavor because I don't want it to taste very good. It's so flawed. I'm so angry. All right, anything else, Solana?
Might be for rich people.
No, it's for people who want to feel rich.
There you go.
But it's a bag of Oreos.
Yeah.
But it's the classy Oreos. It's tiramisu, and they're thins. You know, this is classy. I'm sure the lady, the mother on Titanic, had a bunch of these in the stateroom,
She was bad very when classy. She was young.
Oh, you ain't
Rose?
Lying. No, her mother.
In the early part of the movie?
No, I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Because Rose wasn't bad when she threw the diamond in the ocean.
Oh, Rose was beautiful.
At the end?
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful soul.
Not in the car.
Beautiful soul.
Rose was beautiful at the end.
That is correct.
You loved looking at Rose.
I did. Draw me like one of your French girls, Channing.
What would I'm gonna draw? Him breasts?
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Solana? Clay, did you get all the UMUF talk you needed?
Oh, if I ever saw you at Tootsie's, I'm gone.
What are you talking about? I'd be getting tipped day and
you're
night.
You're going to get tipped at the
shake no one's
spot.
Looking. No one looks beyond the chest, and I got a hefty chest.
You got some hips, too.
Yeah, you're not looking up.
You can wear those Nikes.
You can wear those socks. Anything else, Solana?
Your weather. From the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, call them 866. So you don't like the Oreos that I brought you guys?
I mean, just awful.
Bro, these are terrible. I ate one. I'm not just speaking on it. I just ate one.
Tiramisu is terrible.
That's nasty.
Yeah.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, you're welcome. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com, free consultations 24/7. Yeah, it's raining, brother. It's raining.
Drive safely. Football season's here. Clay Ferreiro is going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I love my Canes.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Clay Ferreiro, sports anchor and reporter for WPLG Local 10, is here in studio with us. Very exciting. When there's a news guy around for whatever reason, because radio people are just schlubs.
Yeah.
Whenever there's, like,
I'm intimidated.
They comport themselves differently.
He just,
you know what I mean?
He has an aura like Rick James.
He has an aura. These news guys, I'm telling all of them, Will, Clay, Cunha, Donovan Campbell, like they have an aura, and I don't know what it is, but it's a weird sensation because when there is an actual television news person, not writers, not newsprint, I'm talking about television news guys.
Chris Perkins ain't doing it to me.
Right. Barry Jackson walks in. Like, you don't sit up extra high when Perk and Barry Jackson walk in.
Yeah.
But when Clay Ferreiro walks in, like, everybody's on edge around here. Mm-hmm. You know why, though?
He has moose.
Okay. But he travels with the crew. You know, these television guys, they have cameramen, mm-hmm. audio, boom operators. Like, he's got a crew of, like, six people here, and it always makes people always makes people a little, you know.
I'm looking around. What's funny is I think you hit the nail on the head at the end there, because I'm looking around like, Aura, what is he talking about? No, it's because I've got a camera cameraman with us. David
it does
Silver
work.
Are.
It does.
But that's
work.
It. I mean, yeah. They're not sitting up straight for me. I'm
no,
not
they are.
Up straight.
They're here they for, are.
Well, Clay, you're a looker camera. Though, right? Like, you got to admit that you're a looker.
You have to be on TV.
Right? Honestly.
Not compared to the people in this studio.
No, because you have to be ugly to be on radio. It's one of the prerequisites, but you have to be good looking to be on, television.
I'll never forget, like, the first time we were in college and we were doing stuff and somebody made a comment about somebody having a face for radio. I just thought it was the meanest thing I had ever heard.
Well, I've grown up
Man,
with that.
That's terrible.
I've grown up with that. That's all I've heard.
My dad used to say that to me,
and I had no. I didn't even know I was going to go into radio.
Yeah, but I'm putting you guys on television, though.
How so, like, well that's going to affect Channel 10's ratings, and not in the good way. Let's just say Goldie's going to have a lot of viewers that night.
I'm a good-looking dude, Hawk.
You're not. How excited are you for college football? Because I was mentioning you're doing a story on Local 10 for next week on UMUF. How excited are you? Obviously, it gets underway this Saturday. And the FSU game is a big game because FSU is a big draw down here. But how excited are you for the entire season to get underway?
I don't know about you, but I've gone through like seasons in my sports life, my sports fandom, and I would say, man, going back the last 25-ish years, I'd say college football has been my favorite. Like, just everything about it, and really the atmosphere and everything surrounding it. And I will say, the loudest stadium I've ever been in, 2005, this was back when CBS would always open the season. Their first SEC game that they would show was always Florida-Tennessee. And I was in the Swamp. It was Urban Meyer's first game. And it was it was Percy Harvin's recruiting trip. Mm-hmm. He was sitting there in the front row, and like his eyes were I was like, all right, he's going to Florida. And end of the game, it was a low scoring game. I can't remember, final score was like 16-6 or something. It was super low scoring. But I've got photographer next to me, and I've got my hands cupped over my mouth, and I'm yelling what shots that I want him to get, and he just looks at me and he just taps his ear and says he can't hear me. And I am right next to
him. He's sitting next to you.
Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, it's just because it's built up and down. It's straight up and down. And so the noise is just right on top of you. NFL stadiums get loud. There's just nothing like the level of passion and noise. And it's like angry noise, too. Like, college football's always been up there for me, and I really enjoy that.
Angry noise, Hawk.
Yeah, they're angry there in Gainesville. I mean, that's the most obvious thing. I mean, of course they're angry. The biggest nightlife is Zaxby's.
Hey, I got to
hold on now. Zaxby's, come on now. Come on now.
Love the Texas toast.
University of Miami, you go to Coconut Grove, you go to Cocoa Walk, you go to South Beach, you're in Gainesville, it's Saturday night, you go, well, we're either going to Guthrie's or we're going to Zaxby's. Of course you're angry.
Coconut Grove is a kennel. All they have is dogs out there licking your leg while you're eating a hamburger. But Clay, this year, though, the first game we're talking about, it's why you're here, UMUF. You know UM's going to play Florida State, and you know Florida plays Florida State every single year, but now we have that UMUF to start the season. Is it what it was in the past? Because you just talked about 05. I was there in 03, 04. Like, is that South Florida or just Florida championship thing still something?
It's such a great question. I don't know in general if rivalries are what they used to be, and maybe I'm wrong on that, but I feel like when you combine this new era with the transfer portal and people going all over the place, and then, you know, recruiting isn't necessarily like it used to be, where a lot of it was regionalized, and so like a lot of the people who would grow up in South Florida hating Florida State or hating Florida, well, they'd go to Miami, and Miami's doing a much better job recently than they had in the past decade or so of keeping those recruits home. But I feel like the world is so much smaller now because of technology and all that and people going around. I'm saying all this because a lot of these kids, these recruits, don't grow up with the same level of hate because they end up going to some of these other schools that maybe their parents like.
That's actually a good point, so, because it used to be, you know, if you were in South Florida, 90% of the kids were either going to go to you at the good recruits, UM, FSU or UF.
Yeah.
Yep.
But now it's so much more spread out.
And you would grow up, and I would imagine you would grow up, and you're choosing between the two. And if your buddy chooses somewhere else, and then all of a sudden, like, that anger, that it builds. And more so than just, you want to beat your best friend. No, it's you chose to go to the school that I didn't. And so I just feel like some of that's different. Now, with that said, I still feel like the passion from fans is there, and that's still, to bring it kind of full circle, that's why I still, there's just nothing like a big college football game for me. And it's a big college football game in a team stadium. The neutral site stuff is fun. It feels like for bowl games, like it's fun and all that. But in a team stadium where either those 80,000, 90,000 people are going to be excited and walk out like puffing their chest and all that, or they're going to walk out just devastated, and the other team is going to be celebrating on their field, and they're going to have bragging rights for a couple of years that they won at their place.
With what you're talking about, it kind of hurt me. The national championship, was it Howard Schnellenberger, the state of Miami and all that?
Yep.
The national championship used to run through Florida.
Yep.
With the realignment, with NIL, with that, can we ever get back there? Because not even last year, it's Georgia, it's Michigan. Now they're talking about USC, Texas. Like, that thing that whoever wins the state of Florida is going to be right there in the national championship. Clay, I'm a Gator. I hate to say, I don't know if that'll ever be that way again.
I don't think so.
You know, I was reading something today on ESPN, and I'd actually heard this going back a ways. I went to Virginia Tech, and there was a booster who was talking about this, where this, and I'm talking like a year, year and a half ago, this is what was being mentioned. Because you hear about the realignment stuff, and where is it going? You're going to have two power to where I think the ultimate end game, a lot of people feel, is going to be like these two super conferences that are divided, like the AFC and the NFC are in the NFL. And so I do feel like there's still going to be that passion from fans and from graduates and you know, people who have a certain connection to the schools that goes beyond even their NFL fans. But I don't know that when you're starting to treat, because listen, I don't know that if you're an NFL player that played for a team or a number of teams, that you maybe have the same sort of like passion about the team that you played for than the school you went to. And a lot of you only went to, and I'll ask you, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot here, Channing, but like, do you have a connection, a passion? We live in South Florida, but like, I see you got the Gators tattoo. I mean, yeah. there's a level of passion there, I think, that goes with your school. And when you're turning college football more and more into the NFL, I don't know that the players are going to have the same level of passion for their school that maybe they did back in the day when you chose the school, you stayed there, and you graduated or you went to the NFL.
I remember a drunken night where Ted Ginn was – he already had an Ohio State tattoo.
Yeah.
And he was about to get a Dolphin tattoo. And I remember talking to him like, big dog, you know they're going to like trade you sooner or later or cut you. Like that Florida thing was saying, that's why I got a Florida tattoo. I do not have a Dolphin tattoo. So to your point where it's about money now
Powered.
And it's about, you know, the power and all that stuff, it's kind of like, is college turning into the NFL with money? It really is. Because if I would have left the Dolphins and went to New England, I think a lot of Dolphins fans might not like me right now.
But you'd have bounced around. In the NIL days, but if you were going to college in the NIL days, you would have bounced around like everybody else does. Like you can. Cam Ward was having a great career at Washington State. But you go, you know, where the next payday is, which is now in college, and you go where the next excitement is, you'd have bounced around.
I took the check already.
Well, yeah, you bounced into
allegedly,
the NFL.
Allegedly, yeah. No, I took the early check.
Allegedly. Can you, when you're talking about yourself, can you go allegedly?
Well, there's a statute of limitations, I believe.
So you can erase the allegedly now.
What do you think is? By the way, I don't know if I ever really realized that you went to Virginia Tech. How does the Virginia Tech Enter Sandman beginning of a football game register compared to other? Because on television, that looks like a bucket list item.
This is the best way I can explain it. It's the best. But the very first time that it happened, nobody knew it was going to happen. It was the kickoff game between Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech back in 2000. Reggie Ball was the Georgia Tech quarterback. Michael Vick was coming off his freshman year. They went to the national championship game. And I had a buddy that came to the game. This was my senior year at Virginia Tech. And I had a buddy that came to the game. I was a big Georgia Tech fan. And he's talking all sorts of trash like leading up to the game. Like, Reggie Ball, man, he's going to get you guys. And so we go into the stadium. He's still talking. Starts to rain a little bit. And then all of a sudden we hear Enter Sandman start. And we're like looking at each other like, what is this? And then up on the video board starts a montage of the highlights from the national championship season. And people just lose their minds. I mean, lose it. We had no idea this was coming. It was the first time. Gets to the end. My buddy turns to me and he goes, yeah, there's no way in hell Georgia Tech's winning this game. And then, I kid you not, lightning struck. Lightning struck Lee Corso's car because they had College Game Day there. This is a 100% true story. Game was never played. So they played Enter Sandman. A lightning storm comes, strikes Lee Corso's rental car.
That's a better night than the football
game. It was unbelievable. But I think... You know, I'm sure it's one of those things where, like, a million people will tell you that they were there. There aren't a million people who follow Virginia Tech, as much as I love them. But, like, maybe 200,000 people will tell you they were there. But for the, 70,000 or so of us that were, like,
you knew instantly this is something. Now, I'll show my kids now the video. My kids are 7, 9, and 10. And they like to play hype songs before their basketball games.
Enter softball Sandman's
games.
One of them.
And they're like, "Daddy, play the Virginia Tech song." Because I showed them the song, the entrance video where the old ladies are jumping up and down
it's so
and stuff.
Cool.
And
it they is just so cool.
It is. And yes, I'm biased. I'll freely admit that. But I want people who judge these things to like go there and then compare it to something else
and then tell me. Florida Gators.
You better not bring up Mr.
Tua. I was going to give you credit. I really was. This Mr. Two Bits is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Okay, but
what
that,
about
that's,
he?
No.
Clay, you've been in Benny Griffin.
What I'm going to tell you is after Tom Petty passed away and they started playing Don't Back Down, and the entire, because they didn't know that they were going to do it more than that one week in honor of Tom Petty, who was from Gainesville. And now they do it every week. And that's a cool moment.
Okay.
That's very cool.
Thank you.
The two bits you can throw right out the window.
What do they do before the game? I don't know if they still do it, but I just remember from that Florida-Tennessee game, they did, before the game, the lights went down, and then, I don't know why I want to keep saying Mystery Science Theater 3000, but it was something, some song that they played before the game that got, and then the lights started flickering a little bit. And that's, by the way, that's when I looked over at Percy Harvin, and his eyes were like huge.
The here come the gate. That's when I realized, Clay, the first time when I was at UF, and I'm like, this is different, is when they say that, like, and they'll dim the lights, and it says, here come the Gators. And 96,000 people scream at the top of their lungs. And I'm standing under the stadium, and it's the first time I felt the ground shake under my feet. And I was like, this is amazing. Mr. Two Bits gets a little rumble.
Well,
wait a second.
Allow me to tell you something.
Here come the Gators.
Allow me to tell you something.
To let the team come out is special, Hawk. What do y'all have? Because y'all don't have a stadium.
I thought the Hurricanes were going to win on the 31st. I was going to lay the points, but I think the Hurricanes are going to win straight up. I had no idea that they yell, here come the Gators. I mean, mind blown. So you're telling me at a football game, some guy gets on the microphone, he yells, here come the Gators.
No.
Had I known that, I wouldn't have put the house on the Hurricanes. That sounds like a deal breaker for the Canes.
Say, here come the Gators like a newscaster. Here come the Gators.
Hold on here.
Now you crossed the line. Wow.
Here come the Gators.
Now, how many?
Breaking news here. Here come the Gators.
How many focus groups did they put through to come up with here come the Gators?
And y'all just spray some damn fire extinguishers.
Yeah,
huh?
That's right.
And have a little bird twist his beak around.
Right.
That's what y'all want to do, huh?
Don't call Sebastian a little bird.
Let that little bird run out and twist his beak.
I will say this, though, for Canes fans. I remember, was it 2017 where the Canes had that really good season? Braxton
the Notre
Berrios,
Dame game. And, you talking about the Notre Dame game?
I'm actually talking about the Virginia Tech game the weekend before, because they play, I think it was back-to-back weekends. They played Virginia Tech, then Notre Dame. Notre Dame was louder than Virginia Tech, but Bud Foster, the Virginia Tech defensive coordinator, said that this was after they had kind of closed the canopies at Hard Rock Stadium. Bud Foster said that was one of the loudest road atmospheres that we've ever been in. And they used to play in the old Orange Bowl against Miami.
Crowder was marveling because we were at that UM-Notre Dame game.
Stupid.
It was great.
It was insane.
So there is, you're right, people can joke about not having a stadium. There is an atmosphere when Miami is good for big games, and even at Hard Rock Stadium.
When you're winning, that Hard Rock Stadium, that Notre Dame game was the first time where you were like, this feels like the Orange Bowl.
Yes.
Like
that little bitty DB picked one off and ran it back.
Yes.
Trajan Bandy.
Yes. Yes.
That was one of the loudest, as a spectator, times I've ever seen in a stadium.
That place rocked. Remember, it was
physically we were moving. Sitting looking at each other while he was running it back, and it was stupid.
Man, so they go, here come the Gators.
Y'all have a bird that twists his beak with a fire extinguisher.
So then what should I expect? After they yell, here come the Gators, what should I expect then?
You know what I would expect? A fire extinguisher and a bird.
Clay Ferrero from Local 10, thank you for coming in studio with us.
I got to add this. I felt awful because you guys never come in studio, so when I asked you guys
if
we could do
this, cover, Clay,
thank
all the
you
listeners, we appreciate that.
Oops.
I forgot how to get here.
My bad.
Our GM Claudia doesn't even know that we don't show up here.
Oh, I had to put the studio on Google Maps. I was like, where again?
Here goes Clay. Clay Ferrero from Local 10. Appreciate your time, Clay.
Anytime, guys, although I don't think you're going to have me back after I blew your cover.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Ask your mom what her favorite Kodak Black song is.
Hawk and Crowder. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.